You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Ty, part of me feels like we should have opened up the show with like Cardi B money moves. Because is that not what we've seen the Yankees and the Mets do? Is the last 24, 48 hours? Money moves, baby. Money moves. Are you there? Ty? Oh, are you searching for it? Okay, good. So we'll get into some Major League Baseball talk with you. We've got Bob Nightingale, who's been covering Major League Baseball forever and a day. Wow. I used to have Bob on my shows when I was hosting back in Baltimore, even when I was hosting down in South Florida. So it'll be great to reunite with Bob and take a tour, not just what's going on here with the Yankees and the Mets, but also across Major League Baseball as, you know, teams that are active and attractive and are trying to align themselves to win that pennant really put themselves in a better situation. So we'll talk a lot of Major League Baseball in the next 3 hours. Connor Rogers joins us this hour as well. We'll talk a lot of NFL. Of course, you know me. First week of camp in the books. A lot going on. The Jets, they get their quarterback deal done. So yesterday was his first day of practice. What are your realistic expectations for the Jets? Again, training camp continues and as we get closer and closer to regular season game one. And we'll talk about the Giants as well. A lot of big storylines in around the NFL with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to use the word shocked, but I will use the word surprised that him and the Green Bay Packers worked out a deal and he's back for another season. I do believe this will be the last season for him in Green Bay. But wilder things, stranger things have happened. Lamar Jackson getting COVID. Probably no story really bigger than Carson Wentz and his foot injury, and what does that mean for the Colts? So we'll talk the NFL and some of the big storylines that we saw this week, and Ty, who's a huge Lakers fan, looks like they're gonna get their big three with Russell Westbrook. Reports are that deals in the works to get done with Russell Westbrook making his way to Los Angeles to join the Lakers. So we'll talk some NBA as well. A lot happening. And it's kind of wild. Let's be honest. Usually this time of year, you know, things are kind of slow. I mean, you know, again, first week of the NFL training camp season starting and a few storylines and a few big ones, to be quite frank. But the way that the sports calendar has aligned itself, there's a lot going on, and that makes today and of course the next few months really, really intriguing and really interesting. So let's start with what's going on with the Yankees and of course the deals we should say, right, that got done with Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo. So I was off last week. So it's been a hot second since I've been on. But if you recall, last time when I was hosting here on 98.7 ESPN, a lot of it was woe is me, this Yankees team, let's wave the white flag. We had David Sampson on, we had Rob Dibble on, we had a number of beat reporters on trying to figure out, were the Yankees going to be active and attractive and aggressive in free agency? Were they not? What were they going to do? Should they just push the reset button, maybe try to trade Stanton, trade Luke Voit once healthy? What could they get for these guys? So, and that was, in all honesty, if you recall, that was the side of the coin that I was on. I was waving the white flag, for sure. But what's happened the last 2 or 3 weeks? The Yankees, they've won 5 of their last 6 series. The only series that they had not won was against Boston. And now they're two back to the wild card spot. And of course, how we know, you've got Tampa and Oakland. Right now, if the season was to end, those would be the two teams that would advance as the wild card. But you've got Seattle, the Yankees, and Toronto on the coattails right now. And when COVID hit the Yankees, and this was, again, if you recall, this was a topic of conversation we had on the show. You know, we talked about, could we see that magic that took place with the Yankees a few years ago when, when, let's be honest, the lineup, the roster, the rotation was all farm league players. And that was supposed to be a rebuilding year. And you had a lot of guys that were called up into the bigs from the minor leagues that were overproducing, above and beyond. And in a sense, that's what we saw happen with a lot of these guys. Allen, Odor, guys that were called up. Cashman got extremely lucky and fortunate. The minor league guys that he called up at that stint, at that time, stepped up and overperformed. On top of that, got the sense that the pitching rotation found its groove. Now, again, we had a number of beat reporters who were reporting that the Yankees were still, even though they were losing, even though they were six back to the wild card, they were still going to be active in free agency as we got closer to the trade deadline and bring in players. But sure enough, and I want to believe the beat reporters. Listen, they have their finger on the pulse of the Yankees better than most. But I want to believe that 2 to 3 week period where, do I want to use the word magical? No, I don't want to. It's somewhat of a drama queen. It's not that it was magical, but something special happened. Let's call it special. Let's not call it magical. Let's call it special. And let's be honest, one thing that we do know about this Yankees team this season is that they have underperformed. And we know the potential is there. We know that the potential is there for a number of the guys that, of course, have been underperforming. There's just been something off this season. Whether it's the bullpen, the rotation, Major League Baseball trying to crack down on the sticky stuff, the lineup, hitting double plays, whatever the case. And so the Yankees, and let's give credit where credit is due. I mean, what Cashman was able to do in regard to getting Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo, unbelievable. Because really did not give up, gave up quantity, didn't give up quality for bringing in two guys who we know, left-handed batters, who are really going to balance out this lineup where now Yankees going into games, late in games, going up against really powerful right-hand pitchers, will now have to have a different pitching strategy against this Yankees lineup. And both these guys, great gloves, helps the defense tremendously. And as we know, with better fielding, what happens there, it just bleeds into, of course, helping your pitching rotation as well. So it's just, in looking at what has happened here, to me, it just seems like it's been the perfect storm of, you know, and I'm a true believer, one window closes, another door opens. And so, again, a few weeks ago, we're sitting here, and now you've got a number of guys on this roster who are dealing with COVID. They're going to be on the shelf for 10 days. They're starting, you know, the second half of the season against the Boston Red Sox, and there's a number of other teams and series that are coming up that are going to be difficult. Oh, no, we've got to go to the farm system. Allen, Odor, a lot of these guys step up. They overperform. They overdeliver. Now the Yankees kind of in a swag, in a feel, in a vibe. And Cashman pulls out these unbelievable deals to get Rizzo and Gallo, which I listen, I'm a believer now. And, you know, I know it sounds wishy-washy, but, and I talked about this hosting the Week in Wager show last night. You can hear that show every Friday night from 10 to midnight. Yankees right now to win the series are 17-1. I think those odds are ridiculous, like ridiculously good, because now you've got a Yankees team coming off a game last night, Rizzo home run in his debut, 450 feet. First time the Yankees have scored, by the way, in 15 innings. He was 2 for 3, so obviously immediately he delivers to this lineup, and they beat the Marlins 3-1. Now just two games back to Oakland in that wild card spot, I think what has transpired here in the last 2 weeks, Cashman landing these two guys as we got closer to the trade deadline, I think there's something really special that is happening. I think there's a vibe, there's a feel, there's something good happening with this Yankees team. And again, at 17-1 to win the World Series, I might be getting ahead of myself, but I don't think I am. What say you? 800-919-3776. Anita Marks with you. Let's talk some Yankees. How do you feel about the deals that Cashman was able to... I mean, again, last time I was here on the airwaves, we're talking about Cashman. If the Yankees don't make it to the postseason, Cashman's got to go. Boone's got to go. It's a different feel right now. It's a different vibe.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I was just happy to just... Once we got to BP and just get into that routine of hitting the cage before, then going to BP, taking grounders, get into that routine. It's just baseball. And then putting the jersey on before the game, seeing the New York across your chest, it's just different. It's different. I was very fortunate to wear the Cubs jersey, and that's a different jersey as well. But you put this one on, it's just one of those different jerseys, and felt really good.
Yankees making money moves. They take care of the Marlins 3-1. Anthony Rizzo, home run in his debut, 450 feet. First time the Yankees have scored in 15 innings, was 2-for-3 last night. So Chapman gets his 21st save out of 25 tries. And hey, Stanton started in left field. First time it's happened in almost a year. Almost a year. Things are different. I'm telling you. 800-919-3776. This is different. It's feeling different. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, welcome in.
Anita, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I am calling because 2 weeks ago I called you and I told you I don't know what's going on with this team. I listen to you every Saturday, and it's absolutely insane how much 2 weeks can actually change your outlook on a whole season. With the addition of Rizzo, Gallo, even the underrated addition with Heaney. I think Heaney can, you know, not obviously step up and beat Gerrit Cole, but he could step up and, you know, give us some time to get Severino back in the action and Kluber back in the action. But I kind of...
No, I'm just with Heaney. I'm a little concerned. He gives up a lot of home runs, and I think that number is going to increase. Especially in that at Yankee Stadium. I'm just a little concerned. I'm a little concerned with that. I'm more excited with the bats that the additions than I am with Heaney. But listen, Severino. Hopefully, you know, he'll be back in action soon. I think, you know, what we're hearing in regard to you know, his rehabilitation is pretty optimistic. So,
and my big question to you, Anita, is. Not getting rid of Voit was a huge thing that the Yankees did, and I think that it's going to bode well for them, especially if next year we can't retain Rizzo, because I know that we only have him for the rest of this year, and then he's a free agent. So, you know, my question to you is, what do you think? We have so many people that we're going to have to pay, you know, whether it's Torres, Judge, you know, some of these guys, you know, they're coming up on their contract years. What do you think that the Yankees will do? I mean, I know it's still, you know, time will tell with this team and what Rizzo can do. You know, if he bats 500 for the next 60 games, obviously it's not going to happen. But, you know, I feel like they'll throw a lot of money at him. And I know that he's up there in age. Not up there in age, but I think he's 30, 31. But what do you think? What do you think is going to happen with the future of this team? Thanks, Anita. Have a great day.
You got it, Anthony. Thank you. Listen, you know, the thing with Luke Voit is he can't stay healthy. You know, I think hopefully the Yankees. Yankee fans want to be optimistic that he's going to get healthy and be healthy in the postseason and contribute and help you get a good run. Barring that the Yankees, you know, do make it in as a wild card, I don't believe that they'll be able to catch the Boston Red Sox to win the division. But based on the additions, based on the vibe, the feel of this team, what we've seen so far the last 2 weeks, I feel good about it. Now, Ty's producing the show. Ty, you're a huge Yankee fan.
I am indeed.
Yeah, I know. I'm just curious to get. I mean, I feel like, again, I'm on the other side. Like, is it pendulum? Like, I'm on the opposite side. Last time I was hosting, I was off last weekend. Last time I was hosting, you were producing. It was woe is me. Let's wave the white flag. Let's look forward to next year. This team is done. Stick a fork in them. I feel much different today. Just like Anthony, the caller, said, I'm curious. You're a true Yankee fan through and through. How much different do you feel in regard to what you've seen in the last 2 to 3 weeks?
So I think that there are two ways to look at this. The first is the immediate reaction. Is the team better? Obviously. They were, coming into yesterday, one of the worst offensive teams in baseball. In fact, only the Orioles had scored fewer runs in the American League than the Yankees. And when you have, you know, teams like the Royals and all these other, you know, dumpster fires with better offenses than you as a team expected to compete for a championship, then obviously that is of concern. So you add the lefty power with Rizzo and Gallo, you're better. You're a much better team. But the other side of it is, you know, are they going to help the Yankees stop the bullpen, stop blowing leads? Is all of a sudden the rotation going to have fewer question marks? Like Cole, the other night against Tampa, how does a game started by Garrett Cole end with you losing 14-0? And he's been great, but he's also had a couple of starts where he's looked pretty pedestrian. So I think that while they answered some questions, they upgraded their offense, obviously. There's still a number of areas of this team where there are some clear deficiencies, and I just don't know that you match up well against a team like Tampa, who you lost to last year, and Boston, who no one expected to be this good, but now they're one of the best teams in baseball.
So you're cautiously optimistic.
So it's this. Are you better than you were 72 hours ago? The answer is a resounding yes, obviously. Yes. But, like, how much closer are you to winning a series or, the wild card game against a team like Tampa or against a team like, you know, Boston? I just don't know, based on what we've seen so far this year with the Yankees and the inconsistency throughout the rotation and the bullpen down. Because that bullpen is just blowing leads left and right. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, the Yankees, every time they take three steps forward, it's like, all right, here comes the worst loss of the season. Wait, I thought we just had that a couple of weeks ago. No, well, here's the latest, you know, worst loss of the season. And, well, and it just keeps happening so frequently.
Well, I will say this. In covering teams, whether it's NFL teams, Major League Baseball teams, NBA teams, you know, when there's a change in regard to the dynamic of the roster, there is it's kind of like, and I hate to use the word B12 shot, especially when we're talking about Major League Baseball, but that's pretty much what it is. I know that we're not in the clubhouse. Again, I'm excited to have Bob Nightingale, who's going to be joining us in about an hour today. And I'm sure he's been covering, like I said, you know, I've known Bob for years now. He's been covering Major League Baseball forever and a day. I'm sure he has witnessed it firsthand. And a lot of times when a team makes moves like these, it can really re-energize that clubhouse. It could, it changes momentum. It gives new life and things start playing out differently. And I want to believe that has a potential here on this roster and in this clubhouse. So,
yeah. So I would say this. If all of a sudden, because lately what we've seen is Torres has been better, Sanchez has been better, you know, Judge has been phenomenal all season long. He's just coming back from the COVID issue. But if all of a sudden, you know, these guys are going to play up to their potential, there's a reason why there was no team in the American League with better odds to get to the World Series entering the season than the New York Yankees, because it's one of the most talented rosters in the sport. Like, if all of a sudden we see that version of this team show up, and now the additions of Rizzo and Gallo can just, you know, help legitimize their offense and create more balance, if that's the team that we're going to get, then sure, I'll be more confident. But it's just going to take me, you know, watching this team over the next 6 weeks or so to really believe they've got some type of run in them.
800-919-3776. What says you, Yankee fans? Are you tired? Are you cautiously optimistic? Or are you more, I'm buying in. I'm optimistic and not cautiously.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
The quote where he said that you were a know-it-all who cusses all the time, like, kind of made it personal.
The cussing part? I mean, look, I got some colorful language at times. I think you're out of practice. You watch. You guys can figure that out. Listen, I know how to clean it up at the right time, too. I don't curse in front of, you know, my wife. I'm not going to curse in front of your kids, your wife, grandmothers, my mother, whatever it is. To be honest with you, I can't specifically tell you exactly what it is, but it's a little bit different when you're out there kind of heat of the moment in practice, teaching. Sometimes colorful language happens. You know, one thing I do have is a rule here. You know, we're never going to attack anybody personally. So there's certain things, and maybe cuss words, we're never going to direct at a player. So there are certain times you have to use something for emphasis, or something comes out because of a certain amount of energy you have on the field at the time. However, we're never going to attack any player personally. Now, I don't care if you say that as a cuss word or anything else. We're never going to go out. We're always coaching mistakes. We're correcting the position. All right, and we're helping the person. We're never attacking a person directly.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Can I just say, that's the most ridiculous thing that I've heard in a long time. The Joe Judge has to explain why he curses. Just ridiculous. Anyone out there, you play sports, whether it's, you know, social, collegiate, professional, whatever. I'm gonna curse later on today in Don LaGreca's softball game. I curse like a sailor, especially when I play sports. But Ty, you and I have been working together for 3 years. I've never slipped on the radio, right? You've never had to push the dump button for me, have you?
No, I haven't. I've never had to, you know, put my finger on that dump button. Out of fear that you would have some slipping happening on the air.
I've never in all the years that I've hosted Sports Talk Radio, I've never slipped on the radio. Thank God, because I am a sailor. I do curse a lot. But not that I sit here feel bad for Joe Judge. I just think it's ridiculous that he has to like explain himself or explain the fact that he curses. It's just ridiculous. Man, Kelvin Benjamin, good riddance. Don't let the door hit you on the butt on your way out. I mean, get out. Get out of town. Like, it's just dumb. 800-919-3776. Let's continue with your calls. Let's go to Jose in Orlando. Jose, you're up. Welcome in.
Hey, Anita, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, first off, I just want to say, man, I want to give you your just due because I listen to a lot of shows on this station, and we got a lot of great hosts. And let me tell you, you're right up there with all of them. I listen to you on Saturdays, and I'm always into your show, entertaining. So good for you, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and as far as the Jets go, I don't want to sound too much like a homer, or I know Jets fans were always very optimistic before the season starts. But I just feel like this team is a little bit different. I mean, look at the skill positions. There's upgrades everywhere. Besides cornerback is the big if, but our defensive line could be top 10. Our linebackers with C.J. Mosley back. You know, C.J.'s a difference maker. Our offensive line is rebuilt. Our receivers room is a lot better. The big question mark is our rookie quarterback. But if you look at the NFL, teams are known to get better really quick. I mean, look at the Bengals. The Bengals haven't been good in how long? Joe Burrow comes along, and all of a sudden they turn things around. The Chargers with Justin Herbert. And even in San Francisco, they were pretty bad before this new coaching regime came in, and they turned it around pretty quick. So I'm not saying we're going to make the playoffs, but I think we can be pleasantly surprised, and 8-9 doesn't sound too far-fetched. What do you think?
I think you're very optimistic, Jose. And listen, again, and there's nothing wrong with that. You're a fan of a team. You're a fan of an organization. I just have some reservations when it comes to Zach Wilson. Obviously, the athleticism is there. The arm strength is there. We've seen flashes of Patrick Mahomes in his game, but I just think it's going to be a difficult transition going from what he played in at BYU to the NFL, and specifically in the division. I mean, listen, Bills, top five defense this season. Patriots, their defense is going to be back in action. Rookies don't win against Bill Belichick. We know that. Even the best rookies don't win against Bill Belichick. The Miami Dolphins, their defense is pretty solid. I think that the young man is going to have some growing pains. I think this is going to be a very difficult season for him. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, like, you know, just because, and I know, Andrew, I'm going to come to you in just a second. I see that you have Herbert there. And so I have a feeling that we're going to be comparing you can't compare Justin Herbert to Zach Wilson. It doesn't mean that in the next 5 years that Zach Wilson can develop into just as good of a quarterback as Justin Herbert. That's a possibility. But so many things, here's another thing, like so many things have to be in play for a quarterback to have success in the NFL. You know, the quarterback needs to be drafted by a team, and he just fell off. So I'm if you can call back, because I would like to have this conversation with you, 800-919-3776. So much has to go into, you know, a quarterback gets drafted by a team, and that team understanding and realizing all that quarterback needs to do well and perform well, like the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson. I don't think Lamar Jackson, even though Lamar Jackson was my favorite quarterback coming out the year that he came out, and he came out with a real impressive crop of quarterbacks, but the way that the Baltimore Ravens have built an offense around him and continue to do so, you know, they drafted Bateman this year. They brought in Sammy Watkins. So finally, he's getting a better receiving core to work with. But that's half the battle. And so a lot of this is going to sit back and say, okay, you know, how are the Jets coaching staff going to develop Zach Wilson? And are, you know, how do they draft / bring in free agent players to build around his skill set? And that's going to be key. And that we will only realize in time. Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, you're up. Welcome in.
Hey, Anita. How you doing? Good to talk to you this morning.
Yeah, you too.
Listen, we normally agree with you a lot. Got to disagree with you a little bit on a couple of points with the Jets. First of all, I don't think they're going 0-8. You know, some of those teams that are, you know, quote-unquote, on the schedule as a loss. We don't know what they are. The league changes every year. We don't know what the Patriots are. You know, the Panthers, the coach, I like the coach. I actually wanted him here as the Jets coach. But, you know, it pertains to Sam Darnold. There were a couple of things that were very troubling. You know, forget about, you know, Adam Gase was a horrible coach. Listen, Todd Helton, the guy at USC, those interceptions were his fault too. This guy's a turnover machine, always has been. And when he left, you didn't hear any players say, wow, I'm really going to miss Sam. You know, especially the receivers, they were killing him. So, you know, I don't know how good Carolina's going to be. I mean, McCaffrey might be great. I was listening to Rasusian talking about how he's just going to throw him a 3-yard pass, going to run for 30 yards. What's going to happen when DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson are double covered? Is he going to still throw those same balls he was throwing? You know, with Wilson, you know, obviously, to be honest with you, I wanted Justin Fields to, I mean, you know, I didn't want Wilson as a quarterback, but he's here now. We got to work with what we got. And, you know, we have a defensive coach. The blueprint for a coach like that who comes in, usually a defensive coach, is they run the football more. They don't put too much on the kid's plate. And as Ira said, the real key for the Jets is they have to get a veteran in that room, not just a veteran to talk to him and you know, pat him on the back, and like a real veteran who might want to play a couple of games himself. And, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. let's not do the same plan we had, where we rush the young guy in, expect the world from him, and then when things don't go right, you know, we start pointing fingers. This is a big year for Joe Douglas, man.
Buddha, I totally agree with you. And again, here's another thing. I feel, and thank you for your phone call, Buddha. I feel that NFL fans, you know, you want to compare. Well, why can't Zach Wilson do what Justin Herbert did last season in Los Angeles with the Chargers? Well, because they're two different quarterbacks and they have two different skill sets and they developed in two different systems, one at Oregon, the other one at BYU. They've now been drafted two different organizations. It's like comparing apples and oranges, even though you're talking about two rookie quarterbacks. And you have to look at the total picture, not just elements, that stand out to you. You have to look at the total picture, from college all the way through the team and the organization that player was drafted by, and the coaching staff and the players that are surround that quarterback. So, it's a lot. It's a lot to really analyze. And so, you know, in Buddha, I think you make an excellent point. You know, it's like, let's take Tua, for example, in Miami. You know, they started with Ryan Fitzpatrick. They went to Tua, and then they went back to Ryan Fitzpatrick for three or four games. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick got injured, and then Tua had to come back. But that was a year. It was a growing year for Tua. There was a lot he had to learn. And, you know, now this is the year that they're hoping that he takes a really big step forward and he turns out to be the quarterback that they thought they were drafting. But there's nothing wrong with the way that last year played out for him. And I think it was really beneficial for the Miami Dolphins to have a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick on the team and in that quarterback room. I want to say that the three games that he came in after they went to two, I think he went 2-3, if I remember correctly. So I think you're right. And I mean, is that Nick Foles? Is there another quarterback out there? I mean, listen, I've been talking about quarterbacks that could go to the Colts if there's no Carson Wentz. You know, but those are quarterbacks that you're calling on, that you're trading for, that you're going after to come and start for the Colts because you've just lost your starting quarterback. It's a different element when you're talking about going after quarterbacks to come in and help groom the guy who is you're expecting to be your future. It's a little bit different.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
And not only was Major League Baseball wheeling and dealing, the NBA was wheeling and dealing as well, specifically the Lakers. And now Russell Westbrook expected to join the twosome of LeBron and Anthony Davis in exchange. Kuzma, Harrell, and Caldwell Pope now head to Washington, along with the 22nd pick. The Lakers get a picks in the 2024 and the 2028. Okay. Here's the thing. Great move. I think it will be exciting. Obviously, you know what you get with Russell Westbrook. And I had Om Youngman Suk on my gambling show last night. And him and I got into a deep discussion in regard to this. And here's what my concern is. My concern is role-playing. Right? Like we know what Russell Westbrook can do for Washington in the Wizards because really, besides Bradley Beal, like, you know, he was it. So there's only one ball to go around. I mean, it was pretty much, I made a fortune betting triple doubles all last year on Russell Westbrook, which was tremendous. But what will his role be with the Lakers now that he's joining two other dominant players? And of course, we know LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So, you know, obviously, and we just heard what Stephen A. Smith had to say, you know, does bringing in Westbrook give AD and LeBron an opportunity to really take advantage of load management? I think it does. You know, we've seen other teams. We saw, even though it was a late addition with Harden, but you know, we saw it with the Nets, and not that it was load management. A lot of it was, you know, 1 week Kyrie was hurt, the other week Harden was hurt, the other week, you know, KD was out because of the Achilles. And even though they are a big three and they need the big three to win the championship, they were still able to win games with two. And I think that is the biggest advantage that we're going to see with the Lakers heading into this coming season. But having to give up what they did, so now you lose a lot of depth. The necessity to stay healthy for this Lakers team heading into this next season is going to be so crucial. Now, are they going to attract a lot of veteran players who are going to play for next to nothing because they want to come and they want to play with the Lakers? They want to play with this big three. They feel that this they have an opportunity. It is Los Angeles, by the way. Beautiful city, beautiful weather. Who wouldn't want to live in Los Angeles? Well, I really wouldn't want to live in Los Angeles, but nonetheless, I love visiting Los Angeles. So, you know, I think a few things. Number one, I think there's going to be some growing pains here. I think it's going to take a minute to kind of like get into a vibe, accept the roles that are going to have to be established when the three of them are on the court together. I think it's going to be really interesting, and I want to see which other veteran players decide to go to the Lakers, who they're able to get, who they're able to sign. And again, I think the biggest part of this and the most crucial part of this is the ability for all three of these guys to stay healthy. Because if they don't, the depth is not there, at least not right now, and I don't think it will be. I think they'll sign role players, but I think it'll be crucial for all three of them to be active and healthy, of course, as they get into the postseason. Because, listen, it's what we saw with the Nets this past year. Like, honestly, if the Nets were all healthy, do you not think they would have won the championship this season? And not to take anything away from the Bucks, but to me, that's why the Nets did not win. I love the Nets coming into the season. And again, I would just share with you the odds. Nets are still favored, even after this deal. The Nets are still favored to win 2-1. Lakers 4-1. Bucks plus 950. Golden State 10-1. Which I find Golden State, I think they're going to be an interesting team this year. The Suns 16-1. Many people feel that Chris Paul is going to return and go back to the Suns. 76ers, the Utah Jazz, all 16-1 as well. Interesting, the Dallas Mavericks. I'm putting money down that Luka wins the MVP this season. I am banking on Dallas. I think Dallas is going to be an even much better team. I think Luka even takes it as if you can even wrap your mind around it. I think Luka has a season to remember this coming season. Just my two cents. Atlanta 35-1. Atlanta might take a step back, maybe. And then don't underestimate what Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra can do in Miami at 35-1. Ty, I do want to bring you in again because I feel like every team we're talking about today, Ty's a fan of. The Jets, the Yankees, the Lakers. When you heard that this deal was first reported, what was your first initial thought?
Well, I think anyone arguing that they didn't get better, it's pretty silly when you add.
Who says they didn't get better?
No, there are some people out there who are saying I don't think this made the Lakers better. It obviously did.
Interesting.
You go from Schroeder last year, who was supposed to be your third piece of a big three, if you will, with LeBron and Anthony Davis highlighting that. You go from him to now Russell Westbrook, who's what, one of the best 25 players in the league. So now you've got AD, LeBron, and Westbrook. You obviously got better. I just don't know about the fit. Like, I just look at late in games. You've got three guys who all can obviously score, but in a league predicated on three-point shooting, none of them are excellent three-point shooters with Russ, LeBron, and AD. So now the Lakers, the task is going to be for them to add some shooting, which you can do. But Russ, we know in the playoffs, his efficiency takes a large dip. He's a high-octane, you know, high-usage rate turnover machine. And now you put him in that lineup with LeBron James, who also needs the basketball. It's just going to be an odd fit. But they did get better. I just don't know if they're going to be able to win a championship.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this wasn't their first choice, by the way, right? Buddy was, and that didn't pan out. And I think there's a reason for that. I would imagine that the Lakers are hoping that this is the right fit, but not 100% sure that it is. And we'll see what, I think it's really going to be interesting to see how this roster rounds out and what veteran players are willing to go there, willing to play for less money, because they feel that this is their best chance of winning a championship. And, oh, by the way, it's Los Angeles, and it really could be a fun year. So
yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. It is odd to listen to, like, how many people are, like, just rooting for it to fail. Like, I can't watch for this train wreck to unfold. They're going to be a great team. And let's remember, the Lakers, you could make a legitimate argument, would have gotten to the finals had Anthony Davis not gotten hurt in that game 4 of the opening round against Phoenix. They were up 2-1, well in control of that series, and then Anthony Davis gets hurt, the season's over. They would have beaten the Suns, they would have beaten, I believe, the Nuggets, they would have played in round 2, and then you get the Clippers with a Kawhi Leonard, that injury happens. They would have gotten to the finals, and now you add Russell Westbrook. So it should be fun. Like I said, I'm just fascinated to see late-game offensive sets with three guys who don't really shoot threes well. And you've got LeBron and Russell Westbrook, primary ball handlers, both, like, you know, driving and kicking to who? who are these shooters they're going to throw the ball to?
Well, that's why, and again, that's why I think it's going to be fascinating to see how this team rounds out. Who does go there? Who's willing to take less money? Who's willing to
Would you be willing to take less money to play for the Lakers?
It just, here's the thing. It depends. Where am I at in my career?
I'm saying you specifically. You and
yeah, no, I'm saying, like, where am I at? Like, a lot of it would have to be, like, where am I at in my career, right? And where am I financially? Like, is my family set? Am I set? Have I done, you know, is... What amount of money are we talking about here in regard to me playing for Team X or the Lakers? And, you know, again, I mean, you know, is the Lakers the best? And have I never won a championship before? You know, and at the end of the day, is winning a championship more important to me at this stage of the game in my career than the amount of money that I've made? Have I invested my money wisely? I think all those will come into play when you're talking about guys that would consider going to the Lakers for less money. And like I said, I think it's going to be interesting to see A, the guys that they go after, and B, the guys who say, okay, you know what? Sign me up. I'm in. So we'll see what happens there. Joe Wiz joins us now on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by PlaySugarHouse.com and by Infinity of Inglewood in New Jersey. And Joe, I know there's some three big stakes races that are taking place in Saratoga this afternoon, but it's with a heavy heart that I have to share with you, good friend of mine and a good friend who is always on the show, Rob Masiello, unfortunately had to put his horse down today. Faya, a multiple stakes winning Maryland bred horse, suffered a fractured right hind leg during a workout this morning in Saratoga on the main track, and had to be euthanized, unfortunately. And so all our prayers and thoughts go out to Rob Masiello and his family. I know how dearly he loves his horses and how much he cares about his horses. And I can't even imagine, you know, where he's at right now. So Godspeed, and just want to
that's very difficult. I'm going to tell you, Anita, I've been the last couple of weeks, I was at Monmouth. I saw that when Hot Rod Charlie was disqualified, and it was amazing that Paco Lopez didn't get hurt. And whenever I see these accidents, I saw an accident happen at the Meadowlands a few weeks ago as well. I was there live. I can't even look at the accident. I run the other way, and I don't even want to see whenever there's a casualty happening with the horse or any type of animal. So our thoughts and prayers, and it's very hard. It's almost like losing a family member to many of the trainers and owners and having a horse or any type of animal.
Absolutely. So again, thoughts and prayers go out to Rob Masiello and his family. So with that being said, let's talk Saratoga since we're on it. We've got three big stakes races that are happening. Race 8 and post time is around 7 o'clock, and that's the Vanderbilt. And then you got race 9, the Jim Dandy, and then race 10, the Bowling Green Stakes. You've got some horses that you are eyeing in these three stakes races.
Yeah, when you look at race 8, the Vanderbilt, 350,000. There's going to be a ton of speed in this race, Anita. Mischievous Alex with a red is going to be the favorite. But I know you're familiar with this horse, Forensic Fire. I know you've talked about him on your show in the past. Kelly Breen is the top trainer at Monmouth, and he's going to be bringing him in here. And, of course, you got an 8-year-old with Whitmore. But I like Forensic Fire in this one. He didn't fire out in the last race. He got caught. I think that in his last 6 starts, he's been in the money. I'm going in with Forensic Fire as my horse to win in the event about in race 8 at Saratoga.
Yeah, another good friend of the show, Ron Lombardi from Mr. Maury Stables, owns Forensic Fire, and so I texted him this morning to wish him good luck. So I'm with you. I do like Forensic Fire in that race 8. What about race 9, the Jim Dandy, Essential Quality? Anybody giving anybody a chance to beat him? He very well could be the best horse that's stepping foot on that track today.
Yeah, Essential, like it says, I mean, what can you say about Essential? He wins every race, he's won 6 of 7 starts. Heavy, heavy favorite, Anita. It's a very short field. It's a very tough race to bet because, I'm expecting Essential to win, but even if you pick somebody underneath like Masquer Parade or Weyburn, who I saw Weyburn run at Monmouth back on June 21st, Weyburn gave Mandaloon all he could handle. And Mandaloon had beaten Essential Quality in the Derby, and Mandaloon had finished second and still yet to be determined. And Mandaloon could be awarded the Derby, depending on what happens at Churchill. But it's a tough race to bet. I did a small exacta box with the 5, 2, 3, 5, 2, 3, 5. But Essential's getting ready for the Travers. And but anything happens with horse racing, it could happen here. And but the only two horses I think in this field are the 2 and the 3 with Weyburn. But Essential's going to be tough to beat.
And last but not least, Bowling Green Stakes. That would be race 10. And I know a lot of people like Channel Maker. That is the fave, but coming back from Dubai after a 3-month layoff, any red flags there?
Yeah, you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, you mentioned scenarios like that. When you have these horses that travel, you can't read their mind and see. And some of these horses have struggled coming back, and you just don't know what's going to happen here. Channelmaker on paper seems to be the best horse, but, traveling there. I threw in a couple of long shots in this race here. I threw in the 3-horse with Breakpoint with Javier Castellano. I respect the connections with Chad Brown. He's going to be going off at least a 10-1. And also took a shot with the 8-horse with Shamrock It with Pletcher and Ered. I'm always on the Pletcher Ered bandwagon, especially when they're a long shot. And I threw in, of course, the favorite there with Channel Maker. I'm doing an exact in a try box. I threw Channel Cat in, the 1-horse. Channel Cat, the 1-horse, with Breakpoint, which is the 3-horse. Channel Maker is the 5, and then the 8. So, if anything happens there, I'm covering myself with an exact in try box here. And I'm looking for a little bit of an upset here. I'm looking for Ered to upset Channel Maker in the big 250,000 Bowling Green.
Interesting. So those are your three big Saratoga stake races that are taking place later on this evening. Again, Joe Wiz, he has his own gambling show here on 98.7 ESPN on Friday nights as well as Saturday mornings. Let's talk some Major League Baseball. I'm spending a lot of time today on the show talking about the money moves that both the Yankees and the Mets made. And just to give you some odds, Dodgers still favored to win the World Series at plus 275, Mets plus 90, it's plus 950, the Red Sox 11-1. But the Yankees are sitting there at 17-1, 17-1 to win the World Series with making the money moves that they did before the trade deadline. Is there a Major League Baseball futures bet that stands out to you that you really like right now?
Well, when you take a look at the Yankees at 17-1, it's not a bad investment taking a shot with them, considering that they were favorites to win the American League just several months ago. I mean, they added 2 lefty bats, but they still have problems with pitching. We just don't know exactly what we're going to see with the Yankees. I mean, they're playing the Marlins. They have a favorable schedule, and I don't trust the Yankees as big road favorites as they are today against the Marlins. But when you take a look at it here, my team is still in the American League. I picked the White Sox to come out of there, but the Astros look really, really good right now, Anita, and they might win it all again, because right now Dusty Baker's doing a phenomenal job with them. I was impressed with their win yesterday, but in the American League, I like the Astros to come out of there, but Yankees are 17-1. It would be a small ticket for me, give some hope for the Yankees there, but their pitching is still their main concern, not their bats.
Some other prop bets that are out there, especially after the news that Russell Westbrook is heading to Los Angeles to join the forces of within LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Nets still favored to win the championship next year, 2-1. Lakers 4-1. I find Dallas at 28-1, Miami 35-1, pretty interesting, as well as Golden State at 10-1. But for me, it's the Nets. But you're not getting great odds, right? 2-1, maybe plus 225 in some places. Are you leaning more now on the Lakers with the addition of Westbrook, or no?
No, I don't. I don't think Westbrook's a good fit for the Lakers, personally. Westbrook is a ball hog. He likes to shoot the ball a lot. And when LeBron's going to want the ball, what's going to happen? Anthony Davis, you just don't know what's going to happen. It's a risky proposition. It's almost like making future bets on the Lakers and Brooklyn. Let's face it, these two teams were supposed to meet in the finals, and look what happened this year. And who knows what's going to happen with Brooklyn? We talked about it all season long, about whether we're going to see all three of them play together. And this still, you just don't know with the injuries, and when you're playing a short price, you're not getting any value. But if you take a shot with Dallas or with Doncic or Miami Heat, yeah, you can get 20-1 with one of those. But playing Brooklyn or the Lakers at a short price, you might as well wait till the season happens and see what happens and play it as it develops, because you're not getting any value. And Westbrook, he hasn't proven he can win any championships. He certainly knows how to pile up the stats. But it's going to be an interesting combination, because the Lakers are traditionally a defensive, half-court offensive team, and Westbrook likes to run and keep the ball, run it up, and he's going to have to get adjusted to the LeBron Anthony Davis style.
Again, Joe Wiz joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. There is some UFC tonight. Hall and Strickland. I'll tell you my two plays. I've got Strickland in a knockout at plus 150. Also, I have this bout going under 3.5 rounds. These two fighters combined have 52 fights between them both, and not one of them has gone the distance. And you could get that at minus 115. Those are the two plays I'm going to have tonight in this UFC fight. Do you have any plays in it?
I like the Uriah Hall a little bit, plus 180. I took a shot with him. I gave it out as a small play with Uriah Hall. And I also took a small play on with Ryan Benoit, a small favorite, $1.40 favorite there with Ryan Benoit over Zariah Assef. But I like Ryan Benoit minus the 140. But I took a shot with Uriah Hall, veteran, plus 180, almost getting 2-1 odds there. I like Hall plus 200.
All right. I haven't teed you up for football. So much going on in regard to football. Carson Wentz, not sure if he's going to be able to play this season for the Colts. Lamar Jackson with COVID. A lot of people jumped on the preseason game number one against the Ravens because of that. I'm trying to think. Aaron Rodgers back with the Green Bay Packers. Do you like them to win that division? Are you giving the Vikings or the Bears a shot at all? Are there any NFL futures bets that you've taken a gamble on this week?
I think the Vikings have a shot. I mean, it was a disappointment last year. You just don't know what the chemistry is going to be. There might be some resentment from players. Aaron Rodgers really played the Green Bay Packers organization really well. I think most of us, at least I did, I felt that he was going to come back, and then one time I had a change of mind. But he played them. He's not happy. And a lot of times when you have a player that's not happy, regardless of how much money they're making, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But, when you're taking the Vikings at plus 200 or plus 300, it's a possibility there. Chicago Bears just have too many question marks at quarterback. I mean, we love to see what Justin Fields is going to do, whether he starts the first game, probably not. But Justin Fields is going to be a project. I don't see anybody else in there competing against them. In the NFC East, I did pick the Giants, Anita. I like the Giants. I know you're rooting for the Washington football team, but the football team has a very tough schedule. And I think that this is going to be a breakout year for the Giants. And I'm picking the Giants to come out of the East and forget about the Cowboys and the football team. How do you like that one?
There you go. And he's Joe Wiz. You can listen to him every Friday night as well as Saturday morning with his gambling show right here on 98.7 ESPN. Joe, thank you so much. Good luck. Good luck later on this afternoon in with your Saratoga bets. I know you love the horses. You love the races.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.